Okay, we're going to start with our afternoon session with our luncheon speaker. Hal Watson. Hal needs no introduction, but I will tell you that he's a partner and head of the Admiralty Practice Group at Chaff McCall. He's a former president of the Maritime Law Association, a good friend, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the Robbins Dry Dock and a review of attempts by plaintiffs to circumvent Robbins Dry Dock. Hal?
Thank you, Mike. You know, I had the privilege of getting to study law, maritime law, with Grant Gilmore and Charles Black, and I was taking a seminar with Professor Gilmore, and invited him, the professor and his wife, and other members of the seminar I was taking to dinner at my apartment in New Haven. And one of my classmates asked Professor Gilmore, said, "Professor Gilmore, what do you do to become such a distinguished figure in the law?" And he thought for a second and said, "Live a long time." Well, I told this story to someone a couple months ago and got to thinking, well, how old was Professor Gilmore when he said that? And I looked him up on Wikipedia, and he was 68, a youthful 68, several years younger than I am as I stand before you today. So there must have been something else in that theory of what you do to become distinguished, because I did follow his advice and live a long time, but obviously I'm not nearly as distinguished as Professor Gilmore was. I'm going to talk about the interrelationship of Robbins Dry Dock and intentional torts. I won't say it's frequent, but a number of times plaintiffs' lawyers have attempted to circumvent the restrictions of Robbins Dry Dock by alleging intentional torts. I got involved in this in a case called In Re Skanska USA Civil Southeast Inc. This was a case, Skanska was building the new Pensacola Bay Bridge. And in Hurricane Sally in September of 2020, 27 of the barges that were being used in the construction project broke away. And four of those barges hit the bridge and took the bridge out of commission for about 8 months. And the owner of the bridge was the Florida Department of Transportation, and they didn't make a claim because the construction contract required my client, Skanska, to repair the bridge. But there were, we filed a limitation proceedings on behalf of all the barges that had broken loose. And there were approximately 1,000 economic loss claims filed by individuals and businesses who claimed they had lost business because people couldn't get to their places of business because the bridge was out. Of course, faced with all these economic loss claims, faced a problem in that, let's see, I'm not getting the right thing up here. Faced an immediate problem with the case of Robbins Dry Dock versus Flint, a 1927 decision from the United States Supreme Court. In Robbins Dry Dock, a time-chartered vessel went into dry dock, and the dry dock company negligently damaged the propeller. And the time charterer made a claim against the dry dock company, claiming that it lost revenue, lost the use of the vessel, and lost revenue. And the Supreme Court held that the time charterer, who did not own the vessel, did not have a claim, saying a tort to the person or property of one man does not make the tortfeasor liable to another for economic loss. And the court did carve out a little one exception, which for intentional interference with contract, saying, intentionally bring about a breach of contract may give rise to a cause of action. Well, we immediately filed a motion to dismiss, a 12B6 motion to dismiss based upon Robbins Dry Dock. We went through about four federal judges in Pensacola. As judges recused themselves as they became parties. For instance, one judge, his homeowners association was a plaintiff in the case. And we ended up.